This is Flamestock. Join the conversation at 960 960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Flames Talk on a Tuesday, September 17th. Back from the Okanagan, back from Penticton, and ready to rock for training camp 2024, which gets going later this week here in Calgary. It's Steinberg along with you, and it's a Tuesday, which means it's time to chat with Frank Saravalli. It's time to check in with our NHL insider, brought to you by South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit SouthTrailChrysler.com. Frank joins us now from Daily Faceoff and DailyFaceoff.com. Lots to kick around the hockey world and lots to dive into locally as well. Hello, Mr. Saravalli. How are we doing?
I'm pretty good, Mr. Steinberg. How are you?
I'm good, man. How ready do you feel for the start of a brand new season?
Slight case of the Sunday scaries today.
Okay.
The day before camp. I don't know. There's always a lot of excitement. I feel like there's always so many changes with rosters that, you know, you hope that it's all sort of programmed into your brain already, but yeah, we're getting there. We're feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I would say that I was about the same where you were about a week ago, but because we went to the rookie thing and did that over the weekend, that was like the start. So now it's like, okay, well, we're in it now, and the preseason's 5 days away. So you're like, okay, well, we're in it now, so we might as well get used to it. Hey, what are some of the big Flame storylines that you're watching for? What are some of the big talking points that you think will be kicking around when it comes, or league wide will be kicked around when it comes to the Flames this season, Frank?
I think even just starting off now and over the next 3 weeks, it's going to be how does the goaltending situation look? Where does Dustin Wolf fit in that mix? And how much playing time will he see? That goes throughout the entire season. Next one would be when you take a look at an Anthony Mantha, for instance, or you know, any of the other new guys that are there, how do they fit in? What does that mix look like? The next storyline will be, as we get closer to March 7 and the trade deadline, what type of interest do some of the more tenured players on this team generate? And what is Craig Conroy and the Flames' willingness to engage in those conversations about reshaping this team? And from a long-term view perspective, how good is Connor Zary? What do some of the young players that the Flames have coming along, what do they look like in terms of being able to bridge from now until where the Flames want to get to, and how sturdy is that foundation?
Yeah, and I think all are bang on. And you know, the thing that I'll follow up on, one of the messages from GM Craig Conroy that, you know, he has gotten right out in front of, and even when he spoke to us on Monday's show when we were still out in BC, Frank, you know, one of the things he said was, I want to get out in front of this because maybe I didn't do as good a job, or maybe I should have gotten out in front of it more so last year. And that is trying to address all the uncertainty with the veterans. Now, last year was different because there was all those pending UFAs. We understand that. But, you know, there's a lot of talk about, well, is Uyghur going to go there? Or is Kadri going to get dealt? And what about Rasmus Anderson? And what about Blake Coleman? So on and so forth. And he wants to get out in front of it and say, no, these veterans are important. We need these veterans here. We don't have them on the block. We're not actively looking to trade them. What's your feel on that stance and that approach?
Well, I think it makes sense because we've talked about this for almost two calendar years now, where this team is heading. They're too good to bottom out. They're not going to be the 32nd place team in this league, probably not by a 15 to 20 point margin. And in the meantime, you might as well be competitive. You're spending the money. You have players that made commitments to you. Like, you're in a spot where you might as well be as competitive as you can. So I think that's part of the way the Flames look at it. I think Mackenzie Weegar, most recently probably did the best job of putting it in proper perspective. And I'm paraphrasing here, but when he signed up and signed a long-term deal with the Flames, there were obviously different thoughts and expectations. But he said, now that I'm here, now that the city's welcomed me with open arms, I want to grind through these years and help get us to a chance where we can compete for a Stanley Cup again. That's part of this is also fact-finding, right? Like, the Flames need to find out which players have the same mentality and thought process that Mackenzie Weegar does. Because everyone may talk nice publicly, but I guarantee you that there's some players in that room somewhere that this isn't the timeline they envisioned or thought they would have in terms of being competitive. So there's going to be a sort of natural, I don't want to say elimination process, but
yeah,
a process where they basically have to sort out who's in for the long haul and who isn't.
You kind of talked about it. You take a look at this roster right now, probably too good to completely bottom out and be fighting for number one overall or anything like that. What are your on-ice expectations for this group and knowing that there's still lots that could happen between now and the start of the regular season?
Are you looking for a point total? Are you looking for what do you want to know?
What's your how competitive do you think they're going to be? Is maybe what from kind of a 200 foot view or 2000 click view, whatever. How competitive do you think they're going to be?
I think they're going to be somewhere between 85 and 94 points.
Okay. Which is kind of frank where we're used to here.
Yeah, I know that sounds like a broad range, but I don't think it's truly out of the realm of possibility that if this team clicks and if they compete and if the big money players on this team produce like big money players, and by the way, I think the top six is probably going to be pretty entertaining to watch. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they're in the mix for the seventh, eighth seed in the West.
The thing that a lot of Flames fans are a little worried about, and this is kind of just me trying to portray what I see a lot on our text line or on social media, that there is a apprehension knowing that if the Flames finish outside of the top 10, they lose their higher pick to Montreal going back to the Monahan trade. If they're in the top 10, as in draft position, that's a protected pick, and Florida's pick then transfers to Montreal as opposed to Calgary's pick. I know that's something that is on the minds of many Flames fans as this season progresses.
Yeah, and then if their pick were to transfer this year, then their pick next year is still scot-free, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, look, I'm sure the front office has thought about it, talked about it internally. That trade was made a long time ago.
Yeah, more than 2 years ago.
Sean Monahan will be on his third different team since that trade. It's a previous regime, something that took place that at the time felt like needed to take place, and I don't think they can spend a lot of time thinking about what happens if, and I'd be real curious to see if they're in that range between 8 and 13 or 6 and 14. Would they actively try and make moves to ensure that that doesn't happen?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know the answer, but I am super interested in that as well. We're talking to Frank Saravalli. He is our Daily Faceoff NHL insider.
Can I ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, sorry to interrupt you. Can I ask you a question? Because you have a better handle on this than me.
Sure.
I've felt all season or all off season long that this three-man goalie battle that we're about to see in training camp, people have said to me, you're an idiot, can't think, I mean, that's not new, you're an idiot and can't believe that you think that Dustin Wolf is in a position where he could be playing games in the AHL again. And part of that was, I think the Flames actually really like Devin Cooley, and I'm not suggesting for a second that he's better than Dustin Wolf, but I also think part of this, I guess, will depend on what Dan Vladar looks like in camp coming off of the injury. But is Dustin Wolf a stone cold lock to be in the Flames opening night lineup?
I think there's a number of things there, because I think that the Vladar situation is fascinating. You know, we talked to Dan last week, about a week ago, and you know, he sat down with us and talked about how for the first time in a few years, he's pain-free as he pops down into the butterfly. So he's feeling much better about his, you know, the pain and the actual physical feel in his game. But we don't know how that's going to translate to the actual on ice. We don't know how much time it's going to take for him to adjust to his new mobility in the hip and all that type of stuff. And, you know, you talk to goalie people and there's a thought that maybe Vladar might take more than a few weeks. It might take, you know, a few months for him to get settled with kind of coming back and adjusting from that surgery. The thing on Wolf is that he is waiver exempt, so they do have that option to send him to the American League. And the thing that I think you're the most bang on, Frank, is they really do like Devin Cooley. And I also think there's a worry that, you know, he is waiver eligible, and at that time of year, you get a couple of goaltending injuries, tweaks, whatever the case may be in training camp. You get to day or two before the start of the regular season when you got to make your final moves and you get to that final day of waivers. Can the Flames sneak a guy like Cooley through waivers, knowing how well thought of he is by a lot of people in the goaltending the goaltending fraternity? So I don't think you're off base in suggesting that that might be a situation based solely on some roster management stuff. I think that they would like Dustin Wolf to make it easy on them in training camp, where it's just, well, there's no doubt about it, he needs to stay. But if it is not cut and dried, I think there's going to be some real discussions about how best to manage the situation.
Yeah, and I ask that as a way of sort of opening up the conversation of, hey, like, for the loyal Flames fan listening, like, this isn't as clear cut as you might think it is. And I could also envision a scenario, depending on how Vladar looks, and this also may sound wacky, that Wolf and Cooley are the two guys that are on the roster, and Vladar passes through waivers just to see, hey, is this someone that someone wants to take a shot on? I'm also not saying that's likely based on asset management, but I'm saying it's not out of the realm of possibility, given what he, you know, depending on how he looks.
Well, and also, I mean, he's in the final year of a contract, and I don't think if Dan has shown that he is back to being kind of where you and I both think he can be. I know we're both big fans of the potential of Dan Vladar. I think that a trade all of a sudden is on the books. And if they can recoup the third round pick they gave up a couple of years ago to bring Dan in, and they can recoup that in a move here, I think that absolutely is something they'd be thinking about. So I think there are, to your point, I think there are far more options on the table goaltending wise than perhaps it could look like on the surface, where, you know, you just look at it and say, well, it's clearly Vladar and Wolf in the NHL and Cooley in the American League. Hell, if they're really worried about waivers, especially early in the season, I don't think it's crazy to think they'd go three goaltenders if they had to for a period of time.
Agree. And I would say what is very unlikely to happen is that the Flames dump Cooley on waivers for someone else to grab.
Yep. It's going to be really
based
interesting.
Based on what I understand the situation to be.
Well, and I'm with you. And I think that there is some concern that if they did that, he might be scooped up. And you can always time your waivers, and you can get GMs can get a pretty good read on what the situation is like. But that early season waiver period is where you usually see 3, 4, 5 claims in one day as teams are getting their rosters set. So that becomes a little bit of a risky proposition. It's a fair question you asked there, Frank.
Everyone's always looking for a goalie, especially a good, reliable third goalie that they can hang on to.
Yep.
They might. Look at the Lightning last year. They waited forever. There's teams that carried 3 goalies well into the season. The Montreal Canadiens did it until they traded Jake Allen. I mean, no one wants to just give someone away on waivers for free, and especially not the Calgary Flames with what I think they think of Cooley.
And I also can confirm they think extremely highly of Cooley. That's why they gave him a 2-year deal. They really do think highly of him, and that is, I think, really important to underline. We're chatting with Frank Saravalli, Daily Faceoff, dailyfaceoff.com, our NHL insider. Hit you with a few rapid-fire ones around the NHL. Sidney Crosby signs a 2-year deal, and we telegraphed it last week. He indeed goes for 8.7 again. I howled when I saw that come across the newswire on earlier this week. Of course he signed for 8.7.
Yeah, and I was dead wrong on that. Look, from everything that I had heard, I think the conversations initially were in that $10 million range. It's completely selfless what he's done in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe no shock. Like, it's, you know, I'd say he's almost hockey's Mr. Perfect. The trophy case is full. This will bring him to $164 million in career earnings. Money is not an issue or an object. He's been well compensated off the ice, one of the few reliable earners in terms of marketing and endorsements. And so he's able to turn around to the Pittsburgh Penguins and say, hey, I've won 3 Stanley Cups here, but my only goal is to try and win another one. And that's really admirable. But I'll throw in the exception that you have to have complete faith and trust that your manager is actually going to spend the savings wisely. You could make the argument that because Sidney Crosby has continued to play at the same salary cap hit for 17 years now,
that's actually bonkers.
What's to suggest that things are actually going to be different than a team that's hasn't won a playoff round in 6 consecutive years and has missed the playoffs now a couple years?
Yeah.
So I would say it's a noble and worthy endeavor, except more or less Sidney Crosby's money that he should be earning more of is going in Erik Karlsson's jeans. So I get what he's trying to do. I would make the argument that maybe he doesn't need to.
Yeah. It's funny, Frank. Like, I don't know if at any point, you mentioned those 17 years, like maybe a few of those years he was fairly paid, but I would say for the vast majority,
even then,
like he, what Connor McDavid's doing right now in terms of resetting the bar, or what he's done already and what he will do at some point after July 1st, 2025, resetting the bar, Sidney Crosby could have done that 1, 2, 3, 4 times if he wanted, but he never has. And that's not a criticism on Connor at all. And that's not a criticism on Sid. It's just, it's fascinating to me that he has never gone down that road of truly resetting the bar of what a contract looks like, because he's going to go down as one of the 4 or 5 best players to ever play the game, and for the vast majority of his career, probably underpaid.
Even while Sidney Crosby was at 8.7 then, Alex Ovechkin was at 9.5.
Yeah.
And Ovechkin is $6 or $7 million ahead of him in career earnings. And you could make the argument that both players who have never had a $10 million AAV both players have been somewhat criminally underpaid.
Yep. Lucas Raymond signs. What's your feel on Moritz Seider? Just a matter of time in Detroit?
Yeah, I think listening to Steve Yzerman today say that they're not terribly far apart, probably really good news for Detroit Red Wings fans, and cannot stress enough how critically important Bo Seider is for that team moving forward. That defense, to me, is severely lacking. And another young guy, Simon Edvinson, is going to play a big part in that this year. But getting Mo Seider done and locked up, hopefully, if you're a Wings fan, for the long term, that's going to be huge.
And finally, what should the concern level be in Boston as we're on the eve of physicals and fitness testing around the league and Jeremy Swayman still unsigned?
I would give it about a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
They were really far apart. I think the Bruins have had, I don't want to say a realization, but I think they understand the gravity that Swayman has and the hugely important role that he plays on their team, especially now that Omark is gone. That said, I mean, Swayman earlier this summer was looking for something in the 8-5 range, and the Bruins were in the low sixes. So there's still a gap to bridge, but the fact that this has seemingly remained amicable with Swayman participating in captain skates and training at their facility, it hasn't gotten medieval. And I think that part is really important to keep that long view in place, that for a situation that could have had some animosity, they already went to arbitration last year, and that was probably really uncomfortable, that I think everyone would like to just put that behind them now.
I know you got to bounce. Thanks for doing this, Frankie. We'll talk next week, hey?
Sounds good. Enjoy the first week of camp.
You as well, pal. We'll talk to you soon. Frank Saravalli is our Daily Faceoff NHL insider. He joins us Tuesdays here on Flames Talk, and he joins us, as always, brought to you by South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit SouthTrailChrysler.com.